Okay, hi everybody. I just wanted to welcome you all to this Tanya share. It was started in honor of Lira Tova Vasarachnim. The class opened for women and children and babies so that their neshamas can hear it and be inspired and be affected by the Torah learning that's happening here. So this is Tanya. So today we're going to be covering Perek Hey. We already did Aleph Dudalad. Let's do a quick review or somewhat of a review of Prakim Aleph Dudalad, and then we'll dive into Perek Hey. So first and foremost, we approached the Tanya, we approached the Alter Rebbe with this question of, how do I function? How do I function as a Jew? How do I function in this realistic physical world where everything is very tangible? I don't really see godliness. How can you say that Torah and Mitzvot is easier for me to perform in this world and to live in accordance to Hashem's desires as an easy thing? How is it possible? And so the Alter Rebbe starts answering that question with the Tanya. How this is something that's really close to you. This is something that's achievable. And the whole Tanya is supposed to be something that it's supposed to be the Sefer Shel Beinonim. It's supposed to be a Sefer that is written for the people who are the in-betweeners, the people who are able to, who are born into that ability to constantly be tapping into something else. And that's us, right? We spoke about different terms, terminologies, kind of threw them out the window and said, the Alter Rebbe is going to give us entirely new definitions for everything that we thought before. It's different. Evil is not evil. Good is not good. There's one MS, there's one truth, and that is God. And anything that's separate from him is not something we want to engage with. And then the Alter Rebbe started going into, who are we really? We can't start talking about how to function in this world if we don't know who we are and how our body or our mind or our consciousness functions. So he starts talking about the two different neshamas that we have. And before we even get into the difference between the two of them, he speaks about us as at our core, which is you are a neshama. Oftentimes we think of ourselves or we align ourselves with my personality, my ideology, my beliefs. I align myself with my identity, with my past, my history. And the Alter Rebbe says that's all very beautiful and that all is very important. But what's most important is to align yourself with who you truly are, which is a godly consciousness, which is a soul. And the more you can attune yourself with your soul, the more it can affect your day-to-day life. So he starts talking about the neshama. What is the neshama? It's a part of Hashem himself, which means that there's a part of you that's completely unchangeable, that's immutable, that doesn't get hurt, that doesn't change, that doesn't get caught up, that doesn't lose focus. There's a part of you that is always one with God. And if we could keep that focus all the time, then we would be living a godly reality. We would be living a godly consciousness constantly. However, we're not built or born to have that godly consciousness all the time because we're born in this very realistic physical world. So it's very hard for us to tap into that. So the Alter Rebbe explains that the reason for that is because you really have two neshamas. You have a nefesh bahamas and a nefesh elikis. There's that godly consciousness, and then there's this animal consciousness. There's this other part of you that is fighting to gain control, mastery over your body. What are the differences between the two of them? The nefesh bahamas is, and we've said this, is selfish, right? It's self-centered. It's short-sighted. It's only thinking about itself. It's not thinking beyond itself. It's instinctual. And it also suffers from anxiety because it's instinctual, because it's short-sighted. It's constantly experiencing fear. What is going to happen next? Who's going to take care of me? Is there something out there for me to lean on? No. Right? Because it's always looking towards itself. As opposed to the nefesh elikis, which is altruistic, right? Which functions from a space of outside of myself. It has that generosity. It has that yearning for spirituality, for something deeper. It has depth. It recognizes God. It's not short-sighted. It's far-sighted. It could see more than just itself. And because of that, it also has a sense of calm all the time. Because it literally is experiencing a godly consciousness. It's experiencing God. So it doesn't have to fear. Hashem is taking care of everything. Hashem is controlling everything. I can lean on him. I could relax into his abundance and his love and his care. The two totally different personalities all contained in this one human being. Now, how do we function? How are we able to function like that? The Alter Rebbe says the real thing that we're trying to do here is we're trying to flood our entire consciousness with the godly reality so that we can, in turn, from there, take that step into the world and do Torah and mitzvahs and hopefully do what we were supposed to be doing, which is our purpose here in this world, which is bringing godliness into this world. But if we're able to tap into that spiritual wealth, we're able to achieve a sense of dignity, we're able to have compassion, we're able to have courage, we're able to approach the world from a space of deep worthiness, as opposed to the fear and the anxiety and the need for others to justify our existence kind of approach, which a lot of us experience on an everyday basis. So why is that important? The importance behind that is that we're trying to identify who we truly are, and from there, we can act from that space of who we truly are. And we could let it flood ourselves and flood every single action of our everyday. If I am aligned with, I'll give you a quick example, right? If someone, I know for myself, so if I have exercised, right, and I've eaten well and I have slept well and I spoke to someone, so my emotional well-being has been fed and I feel like I did a mitzvah, which filled my spiritual part of myself, my spiritual well-being, if all parts of myself are really feeling very filled up, right? If something happens to me throughout the day, some sort of hiccup, big or small, I will be less affected by it because I am all filled up, as opposed to if I'm pretty low on my physical, emotional, spiritual well-being, then something that happens, I won't really be able to act or react in a dignified, compassionate, loving, caring sort of way because I'm not in that space. I'm functioning from the space of my Nefesh Bahamas as opposed to being flooded from my Nefesh Elokis. Okay, so it's an important thing to realize that this is where we're trying to focus ourselves. We're trying to focus to the Nefesh Elokis so that we can in turn gain from the Nefesh Elokis. Last week, we spoke about how a mitzvah is the love language that Hashem has introduced into our world, which is he's telling us, this is the way that I can connect with you. I gave you the recipe towards connection with me. Really, technically, if we are nothing to Hashem, then how are we supposed to think that we could have a relationship with him? How can we establish a connection? Just like, let's say, a cell in my body decides to want to connect with me and have a relationship with me, it's not really possible because it's not capable of a relationship like I would want, right? It's just two incompatible beings, totally, completely separate. How could we think that we can have a connection with Hashem? He grants us the ability to have a connection with him. And he gives us that ability, that lifeline through Torah and mitzvahs. Now, some of you might struggle with that because let's say if you're a very spiritual person, you say, hey, this feels really spiritual for me. This feels like I'm connecting to him. This feels great. I feel holy. I feel spiritual. I feel like I'm connected. And that's a beautiful thing, right? That's a very beautiful thing that you're able to feel that. And at the same time, it's like the person who is saying, this is the way that I want you to connect to me. I will feel loved if you do this. And then you're doing something completely different. And I gave you the little disclaimer last week about a husband and wife. It doesn't have to work like that with a husband and wife. But the idea is that if I tell my son, go get dressed because this is what has to happen right now. And then he goes and does something completely different. And then he comes back to me and he says, no, mommy, I love you and I respect you. And I am listening to you. I'm listening to you because I, you know, there's nothing else. I'm saying, well, this is what I'm telling you I need you to do. And he's not responding. I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling the respect, right? So Hashem is telling us with Torah Mitzvahs, this is the way to connect to me. This is how I'm making it possible. Engage. And we spoke about mitzvahs, and we said that mitzvah is like a garment, because just like a garment expresses who you are and it also envelops you, a mitzvah in the same way, it expresses who we are. It shows that we are godly beings, that we live a godly consciousness, and it also envelops us. And we spoke about at the end of Perek Daled how a mitzvah is like hugging Hashem and Hashem hugging us. Because even though you're offering a hug to a king and he's wearing multiple different layers and his cloak and his crown and everything else that's involved in being the king, when you give him that hug, just because there are layers of separation there, it doesn't mean that you're not actually grasping him. You're still enveloping him in that huge hug. And in the same way, Hashem is hugging us when we're doing a mitzvah. It's this instant bond, instant connection. That's what a mitzvah is. Now, what's really powerful is that there's one mitzvah that's even more of a connection that we could establish with God. As we know with all of our relationships, there's different levels, you know, there's different levels and layers to our relationship. There's the relationship you have with, you know, the UPS man. My kids love the Amazon UPS man who gives them everything in the world. And then there's also a connection of a mother and a son, a mother and a daughter. Totally different relationships, right? So here there's mitzvahs where you can hug Hashem, which is tremendous. There's no other way really to connect with God. And then there's this one mitzvah that's even deeper, that affects us in a way deeper way and connects us with an inextricable bond that the Alter Rebbe says later, we'll read it in the text, there's nothing even in this physical world that can explain what that bond looks like. He can't even quite give a perfect example or a mashal for what that bond is. And he does at the end, but it's not perfect. But the idea is that the one mitzvah that really connects us is Torah. Mitzvahs are a garment. Torah is a whole nother level. When we learn Torah, when we engage with Torah, when we are making Torah a part of ourselves, we're connecting with Hashem on an even deeper way than before. Now, the Alter Rebbe goes into that. Yes.
But by doing Shittas every day, learning Torah, no? Mm-hmm. The same thing.
That's beautiful. Learning Shittas is beautiful. That's learning Torah.
When you say Torah, it's not like taking the homage and starting to go through the parasha of the week, and it's what I mean.
Beautiful. So any...
Also,
yeah, so the Alter Rebbe says right away, because the Alter Rebbe, of course, is coming from the Baal Shem Tov, who very much lauded the simple person. The Alter Rebbe right away says, you don't have to be a Talmud Chacham, or you don't have to go systematically through the Torah in order to say that you are learning Torah. What the Alter Rebbe immediately defines as learning Torah, or doing the mitzvah of Torah, is taking any aspect of Torah and making it a part of yourself. Right, so taking an idea of Torah, whether it's you know, learning every day for 18 hours a day, or if you just, you know, read a little bit in the Torah, whatever it is, in the Chumash and Tehillim, whatever it is, Tanakh, and you made it something that was applicable to you or applied to you, that is considered learning Torah. It's the same thing. But you're still tapping into that connection in the same way. What do you say?
By doing it every day.
By doing it, well, we don't want to start being perfectionist and demanding of ourselves. Let's first talk about in the realm of the idea, what happens when you're learning Torah? But it's a beautiful thing if you're learning Chiddush every day. I commend you. Yeah. There is a phrase in the Kabbalah, in the Zayar, where Eliyahu says this famous line, Leis machsheva tfisa beklal. There's no thought that can grasp him at all. There's no thought that can grasp him at all. And it's referencing to the idea that you can't really plumb the depths of understanding Hashem. You can't really grasp him. There's nothing about him and his Torah that is possible for us created beings to really deeply contain. So the question is, on the one hand, the Alter Rebbe is saying, no, this is the most incredible connection. On the other hand, you have the Zayar that's saying, Leis machshavat tfisa beklal. There's no thought that can truly grasp him. You're trying to learn Torah, but you can't really, really get it. So what is it? Is this connection or is this disconnect? So the Alter Rebbe basically starts talking about tfisa, which is the word grasp. What does it mean to grasp? Why couldn't the Elio in the Zara said a different word? Like, hey, you don't get it. You'll never get God, or you'll never understand God. Instead, he says the word grasp. And therein lies the answer. The Alter Rebbe starts helping us understand that Torah is very different than other intellectual property. When I am engaging in, let's say, learning astronomy, or if I'm learning math, or if I'm learning any sort of subject, when I'm learning about the moon, it's not like as I'm going through understanding the way that the moon turns and the light of the moon and how how it functions, that now I have the moon inside me. I have the idea of the moon inside me. It's not like I've incorporated it, the whole idea, and it's in me. It's very different with Torah. With Torah, when you are learning Torah, you now have become one with the Torah. You have become one with Hashem's Chachma. Hashem's wisdom is now a part of you. And that's why Leo uses the word grasp, because grasping means that you're literally holding on to it. It's something that now you have a hold of it. Your mind is grasping it, which means there's something a little bit more than just understanding it or getting it. It's that now your mind is wrapped around it. And that only happens with the concept of Torah, with learning Torah. And he goes and he gives a beautiful example. But here I just want to read to you the terminology that the Alter Rebbe uses in Parakeh. He says, "V'hu yichud nifla." This is an absolutely wondrous unity. She'ein yichud kemayhu. V'lei ka'archai nimsei klal v'gashmias. There's no unity that's like it. Not in length. And you won't find it even in the physical world that there's any sort of unity like this. That you have such a bond where they're so connected. And he says from every angle, including every corner, like there's an absolute unity that happens when you're learning Torah. So what does that mean? It means that when we're engaging in mitzvahs, we were saying that the mitzvah surrounds us. The energy of the mitzvah surrounds us. Hashem's godly light surrounds us. We are enveloped in that cozy cocoon of His consciousness. When we're engaging in Torah, not just is that happening, where we are enveloped and completely connected with Hashem in an environment of connection, now we also are connecting Hashem from a deep space within ourselves. It's like we have ingested God. It's not just that we're wrapped up in Him, that He surrounds us. It's now the idea that with learning Torah, it's inside of us, which is a totally different connection, a very intimate connection. And the Alter Rebbe gives the example of food. And he says that food, Torah, is like the food for the neshama. There's two aspects to food. The first aspect of food is that when you eat it, it becomes a part of you, just like in the physiological sense. You eat it, it gets broken down, it spreads throughout the bloodstream, it becomes part of your actual body, right? And like different examples, I remember when I was a kid, like I'd have these white spots, and my mother's like, "Oh, you're not drinking enough milk." And it was like such an interesting thing, like literally the food that I eat is affecting my body, which we know, but you don't really necessarily think that it actually becomes a part of you. Well, it does, right? So it's literally becoming a part of you. That food is ingested in you, it becomes a part of you. The other part of food, the other aspect of it, is that it's a source of life. It literally keeps us alive. If we eat, we live. If we don't eat, God forbid, the opposite. So the reason why this analogy is beautiful is because both aspects of this analogy are happening when we learn Torah. When we learn Torah, it becomes literally a part of ourselves. Just like we ingest food, we're ingesting Torah. The words of Torah come inside our neshama, and it's like food for the neshama. It becomes a part of the neshama, connects us to Hashem. It becomes a part of our body. We are ingesting Hashem's Chachma. And it's also a source of life for our neshama. From there, while we're learning the Torah, Hashem's Chachma, it literally gives us life. It flows out of us and it creates more of that godly consciousness within the way that we function in our everyday life. So how do we take this idea and really make it practical? Twofold. When we're learning Torah, we want to really make it a part of ourselves. We want to take it in. It's not just, you know, even though reading words of Torah is beautiful and it does affect you, and the Baal Shem Tov says it affects the air around you, but what the Alter Rebbe here is bringing in is how powerful is it that when you learn Torah, it becomes a part of you. Now, this is an active process, right? Just because a husband comes home and hands the flowers over to his wife, and that's a beautiful gesture, it still is so much more meaningful as if he gives it to her and says, "I love you," or he looks at her in the eyes, or he makes the effort, right? They're saying thank you, and then they're saying thank you. like really acknowledging to someone that you gave me something. That's where that there's that point of connection. So what the Alter Rebbe is bringing over here is you could have a superficial way of reading Torah, of learning Torah. Yes, I did my part. I came to the Torah class. I learned this concept. It was great, cool, and then go on with my life. Or I could look at this piece of Torah that I learned, this line from the Torah, this little short Dvar Torah that I heard from someone over the phone, whatever it is. And I could really say, I want to inculcate that into my everyday life. I want to make this a part of myself. I want to really receive this and make it who I am. If I learned about Avram Avinu and his Midas, I don't want to just hear about it as concept, because that would just be like intellectualism, right? Just striving to understand different wisdoms, just like we understand different intellectual concepts in the world. I want to make that I learned something about Avram Avinu a part of me, how it affects me, how it affects my everyday life. That's when I'm taking Torah and I'm ingesting it, and it's becoming my godly reality, my realistic approach to this world. And the other part of it, when I'm learning Torah, is that it should be really intentional, right? It should be about me connecting to Hashem. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to learn Torah and this feels good and I like it. This is a pathway through which I can create connection, right? Just like with food, it's a source of life. So in this way, I'm connecting to Hashem. He is my source of life. And the more I can connect to Torah and seeing that this is a method through which I gain life, joy will come from this. Dignity will come from this. Worthiness will come from this. My purpose will come from learning Torah. Me being attuned to God, connecting with Him, will give me everything that I want in this world. That's a totally different way of approaching Torah study, right? So if you're sitting down to do your chitas, it's not just like making sure that you get it done, you know, saying sheni or reading the words. What is it that's making it meaningful to you, that you're ingesting it? And am I also doing it with the intention of, I'm connecting to Hashem right now. He is my source of life. This is going to spill over into the rest of my day. It's not just like, hey, I set aside 15 minutes to do chitas. Now that I've done chitas, now that I've ingested this Torah, now I can have it spill over into the rest of my world. Yeah? So I was asking my husband for some interesting stories or anything about this concept, and he shared with me a beautiful Torah that I thought would be nice and relevant to share here. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz had this question once. I think it came to him or he just taught it. That there's the concept that when a woman is pregnant, she has a fetus growing inside of her. And I'm just pausing because it's the Rebbe's voice. It's okay. It's beautiful. I love that's your ringer. It's beautiful. So he said that if there's a fetus inside of you, right, inside of a woman, inside of her is this experience of a malach teaching the child, right? And the malach is teaching that child kula tera kula, every single aspect of tera. This fetus is learning. And then there's that famous medrash that when the child is going to be born, the malach taps him on the top of the lip. And that's why we have this indentation, and the child forgets it immediately. But the question Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is bringing up is, if there is a fetus right here inside this woman's stomach that knows kula tera kula, then why are we not standing up for the woman when she walks into the room? Why are we not treating her or this fetus like a gadol, right? It's the same thing. This neshama knows everything. Why are we not treating this person in the same way? Obviously, it's a theoretical question, but the answer really lies in the aspect that when a person is a gadol b'Torah, right, a person who has really worked on themselves and has learned, like had the studiousness, the diligence to work through the Torah to the extent that now it has become a part of them, so that they are considered a gadol hadar. It's not that they now have kula tera kula in them, that that's why we're standing up for them. It's because of the incredible toil, the incredible effort that they have put in to make Torah a part of themselves. Just because that person is a genius and can remember, you know, pages and pages of Gemara, Mishnayos, and Tanya, whatever it is, that's incredible, it is. But the reason why we're respecting that Gadol Hadar is because they have ingested the Torah. That's the part of themselves that we're standing up for, that we deeply respect, that we want to connect to. Because here's a person who has ingested Torah. Here's a person who has connected to God in a way, the way that Hashem wants him to, in a way that's so powerful. I want to be a part of that too. That's why that person is a Gadol Hadar. Not just because they've memorized things. Lots of people can memorize things, and that's incredible too. But it's their effort, their toil, and then ultimately the connection that they've established that makes them really special and worthy of true dignity and respect. Another really interesting story that my husband shared with me was a Yid one time came to the Magen Mizrach, and he was, I guess, sitting at the table, or he had a personal audience, I'm not sure which. It sounds at this point that he had a personal audience with the Magen Mizrach, and the Magen said, okay, what do you want a bracha for? How can I help you? And the man said, I don't really need anything. You know, I have wealth, I learn Torah, I have children. They're all from. I'm pretty good. I'm just here kind of to observe. And the Magid, in hearing that, was obviously very happy for him and could also sense that perhaps there is maybe something lacking in the man's satisfaction with the way everything is, and not feeling the word is complacency, right? His complacency with his life. And so the Magid says, you know, I'm happy for you, but I think that it would help you tremendously if you went to visit a chassid, the great Reb Zusha of Anapoli. And the man says, fine. So he travels to Anapoli on the Magid's advice, and he thinks, okay, this is going to be a life-changing experience. He comes to Anapoli and he says, where is the tremendous Talmud Chacham, the incredible Reb Zusha? And everyone's has no idea who he's talking about, because nobody knows of the incredible Reb Zusha who lives in Anapoli, who's a gadol in every single way. And finally, after asking a bunch of people, he hears that there is a Zusha. Okay, so he says, okay, maybe that's the Zusha. So he goes to Zusha, he finds Reb Zusha in shul, and he's dressed as if like he's a beggar. Absolute, like, ripped clothing. He lived in extreme poverty. And the man looks at him and he's thinking, there's nothing to gain from this person. I'm not going to ask him anything. And he peers over the man's shoulder and he sees that the man is finishing up learning Masechta Brachos and Mishnayos, which is like one of the easiest Masechtas. It's like what they start keep teaching the kids in school, you know, when they're in third grade. And he thinks again, like, I'm not asking, I'm just going to walk away. This was a total waste to come all the way here to Anapoli to gain from Reb Zusha. And he's about to turn away. And Reb Zusha says, hey, you know, you look like a learned person. You look like a prominent man. I have a question here in Masechta Brachos. Can you help me? And the man says, sure, I can help. So he shares with him what he was just learning. And he says, there's a whole discussion in the Mishnayos about whether something constitutes a minyan or not. So you're supposed to have 10 people, a quorum for a minyan, in order to daven. Now, what if you don't have 10 people? So the Mishnah asks, is it okay to use the Aron Kodesh as the 10 person? You have 9 people, and then the Aron Kodesh is there. It contains a Sefer Torah, so can it count as part of the minyan? And the Mishnah says, no, it doesn't, because the Aron Kodesh is not a gavra. It's not a person. And that's the end of the discussion. And so Reb Zusha turns to this man and he says, what is this discussion? Like, what is this question even? Everyone knows that an Aron Kodesh is not a gavra. Why would this question even like come up? Like, hey, maybe with the Aron Kodesh, because it contains the whole Torah, you know, maybe it could count, could constitute as a person to count inside the minyan. What is that question even? And the man says, you know, I never thought about it. Like, I've learned this Mishnah many times, but I never thought about that answer or that question even. And so Reb Zusha says, you know, I think I might have an answer for it. And he says, the Mishnah is addressing the person who knows Kol HaTorah Kula. And yet, even though he knows all of the Torah, he's still a block of wood. He has everything inside him. He literally has a Sefer Torah inside of him, but he hasn't made it a part of himself. It's not something that has inculcated his everyday life. It's not something that has become part of his consciousness. It's not the way he lives his life. It's not the way he approaches other people. It hasn't affected his humility. He's still just a block of wood. And to that person, the Mishnah is saying, you want to be part of a quorum, you want to be part of a minion, you can't. You're not a gavra. You're not a person. And Rav Zisha obviously wasn't intentionally saying this to him, but it was all obviously coordinated by Hashem. But the idea is that this man heard that message loud and clear, that I could be a person who thinks I have everything. I have the wealth, I have my children being from, I am from, I know all the Torah, I know Kol HaTorah Kula, and still, I'm traveling all the way here to Anapoli to hear from the Magid that I'm still just a block of wood. And not in the way of like to be insulting, but to show him a derech of Avaida, that yes, you have all this bounty, you have all this incredible abundance in your life. You know Torah, you have the ability to learn it, you have the wealth, so you have the time to learn it, and yet you're not actually making it a part of yourself and who you are. And so the man left Rav Zisha of Anapoli with a completely new derech of Avaida in his life. Now he could take all the abundance that he has and make it real, make it a part of himself, so he could become a gavra, a real person, not just a block of wood that contains the Torah. So after learning this and learning Parakeh, I think it's obvious what we have to do now. After every one of our classes, we have to have a takeaway. We have to somehow take the Tanya, take what we're learning, and give ourselves even just a minute at the end of this class and say, okay, how am I going to take the ideas that we discussed today, that we thought about, that we learned about, and make it real, make it a part of me, make it something that I could think about throughout the day, or take one action inspired from this class, inspired from Parakeh of Tanya, where the Alter Rebbe is giving us this gift of knowledge. That Torah is not just something that we could learn. It's not just for Talmidei Chachamim. You could just live with one concept that you've learned in Torah, and you are now not just enveloped by Hashem's light, but now it's you. It's a part of you. It's a deep connection that the Alter Rebbe can't even find a mashal for to really fully explain to us the deep connection that we're creating when we learn Torah. So my takeaway is that for every class after this, we're going to have a takeaway. But I want to first hear if anyone has a takeaway. Yes.
So I was walking this morning, looked at your class, and I was listening to Benedict and Tosha. I heard it so loud and clear, the lyrics from the first song. And I know Benny. And it's like he's the person who took a beautiful concept of Torah, which is life is good. See the good in all things, okay? And put it into, so he manifested this Torah that is like his neshama is like the kiss song of his neshama.
Wow.
You can't help but smile when you say hello to him. He's such a beautiful smile. But the song smiles. So he's taken that Torah and he's transformed it into a song, which everyone can sing. And take away a bit of what is part of him in doing so. And it's just such a, I just love this concept that you're talking about, because it's not just reading, it's not just the reading. It seems like reading, like you learn Torah and you're wrapped in Hashem's words, but it's not just that. It's actually taking something that's really meaningful to you that you take away with and sharing it in your life in a personal way.
So beautiful. So like there's that translation of an artist of taking an idea, a concept in Torah and putting it into the world. So not just is he taking an idea that's so beautiful in Torah and connecting with Hashem in that way, but he's also creating opportunity for other people to connect.
Right. In fact,
that's so beautiful. So what's your takeaway? Okay. Love it. Don't feel like you're put on the spot, but it's just something for you to think about. And I would love for you to share if you want to, but take a minute, right, to think about how do I take that idea and incorporate it into my everyday life. I will say, so let's say my takeaway is I already acted on this takeaway before, but I'm attending this beautiful class, which is part of Batsheva Learning Academy. And I'm really excited. And I locked myself into it because I know that it's very easy for me to get out of a Torah class because life happens. But instead, I'm paying to go to this class and I have to commit to at least 7 out of 8 classes. And I'm just locked in with this idea of I'm going to connect to Hashem from 8 to 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday nights. And I'm excited to take that idea and translate it into the rest of my life. But there's like that discipline of just really making sure that I'm going to be a part of it. So that's my takeaway. Anyone else? Yes.
I like what you said before about thinking about and having intention when you're learning that it's a way to connect to Hashem, because sometimes I have learning almost on like my to-do list, sometimes even in my phone. And I'll sit down and I'll do it because it's on my to-do list, or sometimes just because I enjoy it. Like, I'm fascinated by the Chumash of the week, or I'm excited to learn about what's in Tanya that I like to learn. But I don't think about it, to be honest, as connecting with Hashem. So I think a nice takeaway is, like, before you sit down and learn whatever it is, to think that this is a way of forming a connection, forming a bond, and having that intention as you learn whatever it is.
Yeah, so beautiful. So present and intentional. Love that. Yeah, I love that you're saying, like, this is something I do already, but I'm going to bring to it that intention. Special. Anyone else? Okay, so that was Perek K. It's super short Perek. And God willing, in 2 weeks, we will be, so next week we don't have a class. Important for you to know, because it's a Shiva week, a vacation. So Cece's not teaching then. She's going to be teaching the following week. So I'll see you in 3 weeks. Okay. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful week. All the best.